everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We will be talking about levels of degeneracy that shouldn't even be possible today. Rekieta Law's children taken after ecstasy-fueled craze at some underwear gay karaoke bar alongside his wife and live-in girlfriend has been arrested, his children taken away from him due to irresponsible behavior that has built up apparently over the years. But this is the story of a YouTuber who had everything going for him. Rekieta Law was the news of 2022-23. It was the rising channel. It was a new genre, this whole legal analysis genre. We never had this in my generation of YouTuber, and so it was the most popular podcast that were live, that were not in the already established YouTube elite. And he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle the rise to fame and ultimately his psychopathic trait. And this is what happens with leftism. You have no moral pillar. You get this massive amount of money. Not many of these leftist YouTubers can handle that much success. Too much money to spend, too much glory, too easy. And only people like me will take this and just make a viable future for themselves, for leftists who are impressed at this whole grandiosity of it. They will spend all that money on drugs, prostitutes, and end up in jail. Based Saxon says, Dick Masterson, a reaction on his show, the biggest problem was pretty funny. Well, Dick Masterson is always funny and interesting. I loved going there to do some gallows humor as part of the disappearance of Mama JFK's. That was fun. Based Saxon says, when you bring another woman into your home and start doing drugs, things aren't going to get better. Yeah, and people point to the fact that he may be some kind of a Christian, although not maybe not a super strongly Christian person, but identifies as some kind of a Christian with six children. But six children, and apparently he cares so little about them that he was constantly on drugs around them, to the point where someone reported him. They say that it's a mandatory report. So generally when they say this, it's either the police or a hospital staff that felt bound by law to report, hey, this guy is totally drunk, totally on drugs, and I have to report. Now, I'm not a fan of these systems of reporting. So it's hard to fully enjoy the pain of this guy due to his own degeneracy, knowing that these are systems of injustice. But this is, in this case, it does seem that he was living a truly degenerate life. He admitted it himself on streams. He was going to these gay bars that his wife, can you imagine this? And he has this whole, alternative engagement ring, like skater punk, blue band engagement ring. And he's like, he's going with his wife to this gay karaoke bar where they won't let you get in with clothes. I mean, that is just how it is. You need to come in with your underwears. And he's on MDMA. And there's two guys trying to fuck him in the ass in front of his wife. Oh, they didn't succeed. They didn't succeed, is what he says. I mean, if you put yourself within remote distance, any sort of close distance to anal penetration by men, and your big takeaway is, well, they didn't succeed at least, you're looking for trouble. Shamrock Shake says, hopefully the kids are with family. I shudder to think what happens to them in the foster system. Oh yeah, totally horrible. The foster system is just wrong, but the layer above the foster system, which is the system of social worker lesbians, that are going around and deciding what heterosexual families do with their children and judging them for being insufficiently good parents and doing so on absolutely questionable legal and factual basis, that is extremely worrying. But before we get into the full extent of the degeneracy, a couple of news before. The United Nations court has ordered Israel to stop its operation in Rafah. Under the Genocide Convention, Israel must immediately halt its military offense and any other action in Rafah. Now, they don't have a way to make this happen. Israel may very well just continue doing whatever they want without asking for permission. In fact, Israeli Minister National Security Ben Gvir says, "Our future does not depend on what the Gentiles will say, but on what the Jews will do." I mean, can white people say these things? Because I thought it was the, I thought that, and in fact, I heard many Jews say that it's very, very wrong that the domination of other peoples by white people, that the history of colonialism was something you had to be so guilty about, that the guilt transfers across generation from our great-great-grandparents to me, and I have to feel guilty for what they've done. But here we have literally just a Jewish supremacist statement. We don't care if the Gentiles judge us as having committed a genocide. What matters is that we'll do it. Wow. Meanwhile, extremely important statement by Chet Hanks, the son of Tom Hanks. He has consulted with the heavens, felt a westward breeze, and walked outside of a strip club, and he saw his shadow. This will be white boy summer. Hashtag I have spoken. Oh my God, it is official. White Boy Summer 3 has been declared for the year of 2024. Great things are coming for white boys this summer. If Chet Hanks himself came out to say it, he has actually the rights on White Boy Summer. He was the original rapper who introduced this concept. And then what is so sad about it, like, I like it when he does these memes and jokes. What is so sad about it is there is a time at which he felt so guilty that he had to apologize. He apologized for White Boy Summer. It's one of the funniest meme, White Boy Summer. That's all I remember from the rap song, but it's one of the funniest meme, one that I will keep talking about for decades to come because it's fun. And yet he apologized for it. When someone apologizes for something, it removes so much of the hilarious aspect of it, the kind of edgy aspect of it. I don't like it. We need to talk about what's happening on Twitter because I started quite a war. I basically threw a rock where I didn't know there was such a boiling activity within the right wing. I didn't know what I was doing, really. I was mostly concerned about scientific questions. And I attacked Steve Saylor. I've been talking about it for 3 days. Reminder of the basic scientific case. Steve Saylor comes in and says, blacks are more intelligent in America than in Africa because environment, basically. And I say, whoa, 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 no. You don't know that it's not genetic. You don't know that there weren't selection processes at play. And, you know, it doesn't require much thinking to come up with very plausible scenarios. Like, if you're talking about the market for slaves, slaves do labor. Is there a market for a 70 IQ slave? Maybe not. Maybe a good laborer must be something like 85 IQ to be truly useful. And you don't even need to go that far. Just look at how you choose tomatoes at the supermarket. What happens at the supermarket at the end when everyone has taken 5 or 6 tomatoes? The last 5 or 6 tomatoes are broken and ugly. We select tomatoes. We select tomatoes without even thinking that we have a selection effect on the population of tomatoes. But if you were to record the quality of tomatoes when I, as a grocery store employee, pack them in and they get out, the quality is descending, 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 until the last tomatoes, no one would buy them because they're all damaged and not good, and some of them have molds on them, and they're injured. Now, that is selection at play in something that people wouldn't even call selection. But if the tomatoes, if we were to take their seeds, the seeds of the initial tomatoes would be better quality than the seeds of the last tomatoes at the bottom of the drawer, simply because people having selected the best, only the worst is left. That is selection, and Charles Darwin had an epiphany, really, when he realized, hey, you don't even need to be there to select the tomatoes. The sun is there. Events are there. Gravity is there. There are things that constantly apply selection pressures onto nature. And he thought, how do we call this? And instead of calling it selection, he said, well, let's call it natural selection. The kind of selection that goes on even when you go to sleep. That is the beauty of the idea of natural selection. Now, I thought I was just looking for trouble randomly. But what I discover is that there's a schism in the right. There's all this bunch of people who are siding with Steve Saylor, and they're all part, really, of a Jewish network of right-wing speakers who specialize in being as edgy as it gets for a Jew on Twitter, as racialist as it gets. And they revolve around the Oons people. They revolve around the Oren McIntyre. That is a big surprise for me. Oren McIntyre comes out against me. He doesn't name me by name, but he comes today and says, oh, this purity spiraling against Steve Saylor is ridiculous. There's no purity spiraling. We have an issue with a scientific question, and Steve Saylor, in the way he responds to it, doesn't even show a trace of concern for the scientific claims he makes. Instead, he shows a complete dismissal of the quest for truth. And it is not purity spiraling to be asking that our public speakers, what we consider to be our leaders, be truth interested. I believe that it would be totally fair if some audience member were saying, Jeff, I ask you a question about this. I challenge you on this. You refuse to engage with my point. I consider you less of an intellectual because of this. That is what we're saying to Steve Saylor. He is a lesser intellectual because of his refusal to engage with the fundamental point that I made, other than by just just laughing and mocking. Oh, you think the slave ships were selecting for physicists? No, because 85 IQ isn't enough to be a physicist. So can you come back to reality, Steve, and engage with the point? Because 85 IQ isn't a physicist. 85 IQ, maybe. The difference between 85 IQ and 70 IQ, maybe what gets your black dick into a white vagina in 1680. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But you don't know. You don't know. Stoic Saxon says, Jeff, they can't engage with you. They are unarmed. Well, and I read more and more about this Steve Saylor because I never cared about him. But then recently, there was a whole fake campaign of engagement where a bunch of anonymous accounts started developing a kind of mythology around Steve Saylor, as if he was the kind of best arguer for racial science in the entire history of human civilization. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And they were saying, oh, you got Saylored. They started using this expression. And I was like, this sounds very unnatural. This whole, I've been in the right since 2015. I've been a public speaker at the center of it because I had many guests on my show. Never heard of anyone getting Saylored. What the fuck is this, Saylored? And it all started like a few months ago. Stoic Saxon says, it sounds gay. Yeah, it's like, oh, you got Saylored. Ha ha. Okay. Now I read more and more about him, and he's got a lot of misinterpretations, and I think it goes back to the root of it, the discovery of his own self. Here's a personal writing of him in which he commits a similar mistake. He thinks in terms of psychological thinking rather than genes. Just like he does with the slavery, he does with his Jewish identity. And I think it boils down to this. Look at this. For an extreme example of how pro-Semitism can come about within an individual merely through genes alone, oh, you're like, oh, he's going to talk about genes. Let's see. Consider me. Although I'm Catholic, I became very pro-Semitic at the age of 13 when my powers of logic kicked in and my hair turned curly. I quickly noticed that a high percentage of the thinkers I either agreed with, Milton Friedman, or whom I considered it a worthy challenge to argue against, were Jewish. Since I was adopted, a few years later, I concluded that it was likely that I was half Jewish, biologically, which indeed appears to be the case based on evidence my wife dug up when I was 30. It's important to understand the chain of causation, and this is where he diverges from an evolutionary explanation. He says, having a very Jewish-style brain, enjoying logical argument, I sought out the best logical arguers to read, very many of whom were Jewish. You may object that my political views today don't sound much like those of the majority of American Jews, but I was enormously influenced by Jewish neoconservatives in the 70s and 80s. Having gone to some lengths to expose myself to Jewish thinkers, not because they were Jewish per se, but because those who most stimulated my kind of mind more than writers from other ethnic groups, I absorbed from them a lot of typically Jewish political stances. For instance, pro-Israel, pro-immigration. He's laying it, he doesn't understand himself. He's laying it out as if he had discovered out of his own free will. He just happened to converge toward ethnocentricity accidentally. DK Shadow says, what a coincidence. Yes, here's an alternative explanation. Steve Saylor. Jews are selected to be that way. They're selected to find their own argument more pleasant than the arguments of other ethnicities. And all you have here is the result of this selection, not of a mental process that you've gone through. And by searching for the best argument, I just ended up discovering the Jews. What about the hypothesis that racial Jewishness comes with a mental cognitive deficit that leads you to interpret arguments in favor of Jewry with a double standard with respect to the rest? To me, that sounds like a realistic hypothesis. In the very same way, the slavery argument sounds like a realistic hypothesis, that somehow something in the slavery process could have changed fundamentally the brain of Black people who made it to America versus those who stayed in Africa. So here we have a double failure to see the depth of the effect of nature, the depth of the consequences of the theory of evolution. And where is it that this depth, that they refuse to engage deeper in it? It's when it touches them. It's when it touches, ultimately, the interest of the ivory tower, the interest of the Jewish thinker. And when it hurts their political interest, you can be sure they will come out with an alternative route, an alternative explanation. And Aaron McIntyre, again, very disappointed in him. He says, the attempt to purity spiral against Steve Saylor as somehow insufficiently right-wing has to be one of the most retarded things I have ever witnessed. No engagement with the arguments. This isn't about how right-wing Steve Saylor is. It's about whether he has a proper willingness to interpret evolutionary science in a reliable way. Because we don't get much chance to this. As I explained yesterday, if you give up on environmental influence just loosely in that case, you've give up a lot to the left. And there's no reason to give this up. Because it's not even a scientific obligation. It's not even something that the facts speak to. So Nick Fuentes was answering, so now it's purity spiraling to notice. I'm tired of being called an anti-Semite by the based right wing, and I'm tired of having to support secular chauvinistic Jews who think they're better than Gentiles. And he was pointing out that it's a bunch of autistic teen anti-Semite fans of Nick Fuentes who have decided to die in the ditch that losing a war in Africa 400 years ago selected for higher IQs among the losers who got enslaved and shipped off to America than among the winners. Steve Saylor is still dismissing the reality of the point we're making. It's not about the loss of the war in Africa. And someone was pointing out, you can very well have mechanism for selection of high IQ in the loss of a war. Who dies first in the loss of a war? The most stupid people. And of course, the lower classes are sent first. And at some point, if you start making prisoners, it's because you know you've already won. You know you've already got rid of most of the brutes. And very often, the leadership of the losing side will get captured as prisoner when they're the last standing. So you can very well have, as part of a mechanism for war to slavery, a selection for high IQ. But it's not even this. I'm not even saying this. It doesn't have to be at the moment of war that high IQ could have been selected. It's the entirety of traveling across the Atlantic Ocean, interacting with white slave owners, actually mostly Jewish slave owners, interacting on marketplaces of slaves, which I don't know how it worked, interacting with families of white and rich Jews in America, interacting with them, producing labor for them. You're not going to tell me that it's impossible for there to have been selection pressures in everything I just listed. In fact, we should assume that there are selection pressures there. It's certainly not the same environment as Africa for selection. So as long as you don't come, Steve, with some argument that this selection wasn't severe or it wasn't important, I'm not going to believe in your methodological bias, really. Bias for an environmental solution to the problem. And about Aaron McIntyre, I said, quite disappointing from Aaron McIntyre. Instead of addressing the arguments, he simply brushes them off as a purity spiral. Is it purity spiraling to question someone's silence on important geopolitical matters? Is it purity spiraling to question someone's misinterpretation of methods in race science? Aaron McIntyre has shown himself to be a genius. at coming up with mimetic slogans against the far left. But at some point, a thinker passes the real test, the question of whether they can only look good in front of stupidity or whether they can actually engage with real arguments. Don't miss your chance, Aaron McIntyre. Life goes by fast. I understand you may think, well, I'm under a good umbrella at the Blaze. As long as I shut... This guy follows me on Twitter, so I do hope that he saw my tweet. I understand you may think, well, I'm in a comfortable position at the Blaze. I live under the umbrella. As long as I keep shut up on the Jewish question, I should be fine. At some point, Aaron, you know, you're going to die at some point. You're going to be just a pile of biological defective matter. And the last thought you can have is either I've lived life fully and I regret nothing, or perhaps I should have done this, or perhaps I should have done that. Don't die with regrets, Aaron. I'm sure you have more money than me, therefore more liberty than me. And I made a living without having to beg to these puppet masters, and you should do the same. I mean, liberate yourself. It's really not worth living as a slave. This is what I would tell you, Aaron. But if you want to keep doing your little game and... Yeah, I mean, those are all modified phrasings to not say what he truly wants to say. When he says the attempt to purity spiral against Steve Saylor as somehow insufficiently right-wing, that hasn't happened. This is not an argument that goes on. What does he mean? Insufficiently white? Too Jewish? Aaron McIntyre is aware of the discussion that's happening, but he's unwilling to even state it on his Twitter. I guess that's what you have to do when you want to keep employment at a Judeo-Christian organization, as End of the Line Joel points to. Yeah, the Glenn Beck Judeo-Christian organization. It's not worth it, Aaron. For a couple of dollars, for security for your family, you can at least engage with the real points. And they're not even your points, really. They're the points that you seem to want to fight but can't even name them. There's no future for thinkers that are specialized in only mixing what's out there into a digestible form for the normie that is just not interesting. I wouldn't live a life like this. I'm sure you don't want to live it like this either. Anyways, I really like, we see so much failure on Twitter right now, massive argumentations all day, so much failure to understand. And the fans of Steve Saylor, they have nothing going for them. They try saying, oh, your hypothesis is unrealistic. I don't have an hypothesis. My statement is the method suggested by Steve Saylor doesn't get to what he claims it gets. Period. I question the validity of his methodology. I don't have to name hypotheses. I don't have to, the only reason I list possibilities is I want you to realize how easy it is. But I don't have to bring evidence for possibilities to say, well, his assumption that these possibilities don't exist is deeply wrong. And we see so much fallacies, so much failure. There was a guy, we tweeted to him about 20 tweets. Try to get to it. Trying to take him by the end and trying to say, okay, imagine that you're in a camp in World War II in Germany. You're a Jew. You get processed through these camps. You get the subject of violence, some of your family members die, you do labor, eventually you survive the whole process. And imagine that at the entrance to the camp, there was a German and he was in charge of determining if you were fit for work or not. Don't you think there's evolutionary pressures playing out here? Sure. And in fact, someone was bringing on Twitter that there's a whole movie about this, about, hey, it is a thing to survive a process of deportation and forced labor. No doubt it is a thing. Well, what happened to the Africans? Deportation and forced labor. That is what you can name it a different thing. Slavery, work camps. You can call it all you want, but ultimately it's force. It's selection. It's selection happening just live before you by the bullet. And you know, sometimes by other mechanism. They're trying to make it look like it's an unrealistic hypothesis. That's what's so funny to me. That what happens to each tomatoes as you pick them in the supermarket, this cannot possibly have happened with slaves. No, because the slaves, they were all sold. There was never a selection of slaves, really. The white slave owners, they were going to the market and they were blindfolded and they were like, I want 5 slaves picked at total random in some group of slaves that is fully representative of the whole population. That is the extent of what you will need to invoke to believe that selection hasn't happened. You would have to think that accidentally the slave markets were the most inclusive, LGBT respecting, non-ableist selection process that human civilization ever came with. Like today at the post office, you're subject to more racism than the slave markets ever imposed on Black people. That is what they're asking us to believe. It's so ridiculous on its face that it's just fun to argue against the fallacies. Anyways, I think that will be the end of what I have to say about the whole Steve Saylor thing. But clearly, a schism is born, and people are waking up. We're starting again discussions that existed on the internet many years ago. And it was shut down. It was due to the censorship of people like me and Nick Fuentes. And thankfully, we're back. We're so back that the people who have acquired fame in the meantime, the people who got boosted by the censorship of their peers and therefore never had to face a hostile review of their claims, now they should be on their watch, because we're coming and we're not going to let loose thinking pass anymore. This guy is the story of fame, YouTube, and degeneracy. YouTuber liar Nicolas Roberta Requieta, 42, and his wife Kayla Christine Requieta, 40, both booked this morning on probable cause charges of possession of a controlled substance and possession of a firearm while using a controlled substance. The YouTuber in charge of the legal podcast Requieta Law, which was the rising force in podcast, it was one of the most attended live streams, went very popular during the Johnny Depp trial and then rolled on many other success trial. April Imholt, the living girlfriend in some threesome relationship that these people are entertaining, was also addicted to drug and also in the circle of people getting arrested. Nick Requieta, apparently, there's reports on Reddit here by Toby Onotobi. He says during Baobab 2022, he says, during the last 2 years, he fell into a massive hedonistic decline fueled by alcohol, sleep medication, and drugs, which escalated into more and more unhinged streams. Lowlights include mocking and humiliating a suicidal fan who reached out to him, making jokes about his children being molested, comparing Michelle Obama to an orangutan, calling a black entrepreneur the N-word, justifying people who implied to muck his grandfather's grave and harassed his business, and also humiliating himself by attempting to be a stand-up comedian during his streams. Apparently, his jokes were so unfunny, he was actually receiving super chats that were like, please stop. Please stop. Don't do this kind of joke. It is not funny. You just don't have it. He allegedly cheats on his wife with his ex-friend's wife, and his underage children walk in on his drug / alcohol binges. He also insulted his fellow churchgoers on stream and shamed their way of worship singing, while fully admitting going to church so hammered he had to walk out during Easter service. Now, note that he is a trust fund child, only attending his congregation so that his religious parents continue to subsidize his lifestyle. Aha! Not always a good place. It's not all good people in church. There are people who are constrained to be there. This guy was going on MDMA in church to collect the trust fund because the trust fund was conditional on the fact that he was living a religious lifestyle. Ah, interesting. All this is just scratching the surface. It becomes really crazy once you consider he was putting on a conservative, family-centered, religious lawyer-man persona beforehand. I mean, look at this guy. Look at my skin tone. I mean, I don't want to brag here. I do have the luck of having genetically basically a baby face. But look at how radiant I am compared to this guy. And tell yourself, we're in the same age. He's 42, I'm 40. This guy, man, he changed a lot because I didn't follow him at all. But I remember 2-3 years ago, this guy was as radiant as me. He had as good skin as me. And here you can see the effect of hard drugs and alcohol over so many years. Maybe next time says, what face lotion do you use, JF? I use nothing. That is the state of my baby face, preserved by a life on the inside, a life of programming and mathematics. If you do healthy stuff in life, you don't have to do much skincare to be so healthy. Now, look at his face. This guy has aged about 10 years since the last time I saw him, which was about 2 years ago.
But it doesn't matter what race you're talking about when you go back to the sort of the tribal beginnings of humanity and you go, now where did racism develop? And you go, oh, that's right. That's because one group of people lived in a village or like a set of tents or huts or, I don't know, just laid out in the grass with sheep and stuff. And then another group of people who looked different than them, most notably by skin pigment, came and like killed their entire family. And they're like, well, those people aren't good.
But so people say he had kind of a right-wing persona or conservative persona, but that's for the normies, because as far as I'm concerned here, he's justifying anti-white racism. He's saying, you know, racism does make sense against white people because they came into so many huts and killed so many so many hut dwellers that he understands that racism is kind of justified in this case.
But if you do that now, right? Like if you live somewhere and you're conditioned by maybe a bad economic demographic or socioeconomic demographic, and you see nothing but crime from one particular demographic, and you go, I don't really trust those people. Now it's like, they're like, no, you have to understand that racism is bad and you can't do that. And they're like, but you have to understand that this is where I grew up and this is what I've seen. And they can't meld those two.
See, there's much problem in elocution. And that has shown recently. Up to then, he was producing quality podcasting, quality pronunciation. But I think that over the last 2 years, he converged toward this blabber of way of speech. It's like he doesn't quite know what to say, and he's speeding up the delivery of his words.
Ideas. Now it's binary. Racism is bad, and if you're racist, you're bad. So we just pretend that all of this is able to be fixed by like a conscious thought, but it's not. It's not. And so when they're
talking about fixing racism, that's very leftist.
Trying to find a way to be like, oh, well, the black diaspora needs to be shared amongst, you know, young black kids so they know that they don't have to be white authors when they grow up or whatever. They could just be black authors.
And by the way, he was constantly drinking on stream. All the streams I've seen, he has strong alcohol or beer in his hand.
Like, well, yeah, we got to teach him that. I guess by making them read only books about, you know, how much white people hate him or something. And so they've created this resegregation process in the public school system, in the colleges especially. And they really want separate times and separate clubs and separate everything. And it's amazing to watch. You're like, I thought we did this. There's that Rosa Parks lady who's like, buses should be equal too. It's like, well, and then they fixed that by like all these women just becoming the size of buses. Then they didn't have to sit anywhere because they're always sitting everywhere.
Oh, woman becoming the size of buses. Now that is, that is funny. That is fucking funny. We have solved the Rosa Parks situation by having women become the size of buses. And so they're always sitting everywhere. Oh my God. And I think he actually gets a super chat for that joke. The only joke that I just got it and I'm laughing at it. But actually, I think he's getting a super chat to warn him that this joke is unacceptable and it's pissing off his fan base. So I don't know. Maybe Rekieta with enough doses of ecstasy and beer, he was headed toward a JF level of humor that I could appreciate. But that's not the demand. On YouTube, they expect very different from this type of humor. So here today he has appeared in front of a judge. So we don't know exactly where he got caught, but we know that he was going to gay bars, that there were attempts to penetrate him in the ass that he was denying, but his wife was finding it very funny to have the potential ass fucking of her husband to see. So it was... And on top of it, there's the alternative girl he was with. So there was this constant sexual triangles and pentagons that he was engaging in. Then in these bars, there were also lesbians that his wife was bringing him to the lesbians as a kind of birthday reward for him. And he was getting on ecstasy. And he was enjoying the sex more while on ecstasy. He was talking about all of this openly on streams. Here he is in front of the judge. And he has been arrested and harangued. And they set his bail to $50,000.
Candlesticks going forward. There's a game to play here.
Oh, well, somehow it restarted. Let me go back to the timestamp. Where was it? That's it. I totally lost the timestamp because it was alive. And, well, does he appear at any point? I was watching this live. Okay, there he is.
Yeah, he can definitely play it the right way, and he knows how to.
Before we do, a couple rules this morning, giving the amount of observers first. You are to turn off your device so you are muted and turn off your video. This is December 16, 1981.
Yes, sir.
Currently reside at 12291.
Okay, let's just censor this part.
Okay. Your appearance today is based on three counts to a complaint order for detention. The record should reflect that Alex Cornahachi appears for the state of Minnesota. Mr. Rakeda, you are self-representing yourself at this point?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Count one is second-degree possession, 25 grams or more of cocaine.
25 grams or more of cocaine.
Cocaine or methamphetamine.
Or methamphetamine.
This is in violation of Minnesota Statute 152.022, subdivision 2, print A, print 1. The maximum sentence for that count is 25 years in prison and or a $500,000 fine. Count two is possession of ammunition or any firearm with the user of controlled substances. This is a gross misdemeanor, so the maximum sentence is...
So having firearms with the cocaine...
364 days in the Kandiyohi County Jail and or a $3,000 fine. Count three... endangerment of a child when presence with a sale or possession of a controlled substance.
So endangerment of his own children, because if you have 25 grams of coke around children, yes, I would agree that it's quite dangerous. You don't know what the children will do if they take it. What if they take a whole spoon of it and they just try it? I mean, it's super dangerous. So those are the three counts that he is accused of. And those are some more clips from his falling down that has happened over the last 2 years.
Talk to someone.
I mean, look at his face. This guy is my age.
Someone else. Person A did not hire person C. Person A hired person B. Holy shit. It supports Nick's client. Here's the thing. I'm not a good lawyer. I didn't win because I came up with a novel legal argument. Literally, my clients have good cases. And I go, this person didn't hire that person. They hired someone else. Talk to someone else. Person A did not hire person C. Person A hired person B. Person B quit. Person C sues person A. Person C is not in the company of person B. The court's like, well... why are you there? Like, because these people are working in my house. It should be simple. But why are you there? Why are you in town?
I mean, he was still getting in that mental state $200 super chats. I can't even understand what he means, what he's saying. I'm very high IQ. I can process a lot of bullshit. I have no idea what he's talking about here.
Why are you fighting this? I don't know. Freedom matters. My rights matter. If you don't fight the government, they get to just say whatever they want.
And he was constantly drinking beer. I have no idea
what he's talking about. I'm going to be real with you.
Constantly drinking. He was totally drunk on that stream. Here, he is explaining some of those drug-fueled nights that he was spending time in.
Again, here's the thing. Lady Raggeds took me to the karaoke bar and then the underwear bar for my birthday, right? We had a fun time. Two lesbians tried to pick us up and two gay men tried to have sex with me. I don't know. None of them succeeded, but it was a good fucking time.
He does have an enormous nose. I don't know how to interpret this fact, but he does.
Have fun in your fucking life. How is the sex, Nick? Am I still sore? Bitch, I already told you I was on MDMA. The sex was fucking fantastic.
So here, saying that he didn't get caught by the gay guys, but the sex was fantastic. So was it sex with his wife, with the lesbians? Or was it sex, or did he end up having gay sex with the guys? Or was it sex at the gay bar with his wife? I don't know. But some sex did occur under MDMA.
Have you ever had sex on MDMA? It's a whole different life. Like, it's weird. You don't want to do it every day. You do not want to do it every day. Like, MDMA every day will kill you.
What a pathetic man. This man is at the peak YouTube. Like, you could just... he could have stopped his YouTube career and have money forever. He could have done like me, continue chill streams while surfing on the money from the past. But there he is, being an absolute degenerate in some tank top. It's the most pathetic thing you can think of. Talking as a 40-year-old adult about mixing MDMA and sex.
But it's exciting. Rick Nikita, when are you going to disable locals? This place is cancer. Probably tomorrow. Tech Priest Alex, I don't get the Puritans on Discord. They post real naked chicks all the time. Hypocrisies. Embrace your degeneracy. Fap the Fuda and tentacle hentai.
Embrace your degeneracy. Masturbate to hentai porn. Father of five. I thought he was father of six, but he would be father of five. Here explaining his position on drinking on stream constantly.
It's not a good choice. It's not a bad choice. It is a choice that is neutral. The goodness and the badness is always in your context. If you are not...
Moral relativism. What kind of church have you gone to for believing this? This guy is stuck into the absolute nihilism of moral relativism. It's not bad, bro. We can see on your face that it's bad. We can see you're not happy. You're constantly recovering from damage to your physical health by alcohol. You're constantly pursuing those highs, stuck in the downs. It is a very bad choice you've been making.
Someone who should be drinking, do not drink. If you're able to drink, enjoy it. If you're able to drink now and not able to drink later, then stop. If you need to take a break, take a break. That's on you. That's on you. Your life is in control. This substance does not control you. Neither does anyone's opinion about any substance. This ice cream, whatever it is. Do what is right for you. And then stop doing it when it's wrong. It's not a good choice. It's not.
All right. Well, I defer. But in the end, he ended up in trouble with the law, and we'll see how it develops. I would expect him that, well, he has a $50,000 bail set, and then it will be years before he gets trial. So my guess is he will be able to pay for that bail, but then he might get in trouble again because a rich kid from a rich family like this, trust fund, it's not always the case that one interaction with the law will be enough to shut them down. It's very possible that he will be not fixing his life and that he will be going forward with his continued degenerate behavior. I mean, no matter what happens, he will have trial in a year from now, approximately. And then he's looking at a long jail sentence. Then Simon says, I've been doing cocaine for years. I can quit anytime. Lol. Yeah, that's what he reveals that he's thinking. Because when he says this substance or any other substance, it's in you. Well, yeah, it's in you. The reaction is in your brain. But you are damaging your brain. You are habituating your brain to these substances. And in that case, there was such quantities that he may qualify as a drug seller, especially if he was the provider of drugs for his wife, the provider of drug for his girlfriend. And we have people are hearing him in those karaoke bar streams. People have identified his voice at this gay karaoke bar. I won't go into listening to it because the sound is not clear, but people who have been looking through the evidence have located him at this bar back in 2022 at least. So what he was saying on stream was not bullshit. Well, what is the lesson to keep from all this? Don't do drugs. Don't do alcohol, even is not super good for you. If you can use it in very restricted amounts, you will be better off as much as you can avoid. Tillerson says the brain scans form long-term cocaine users is all fucked up, messed up blood flow. Yes, messed up blood flow to decision-making centers of the brain, and really, it totally disrupts your intelligence. Raised Fist says, I do cocaine every other year without addiction. I don't judge you for it, but I'm sure your life would be better off if you didn't. I really don't care, but why if you can get rid of this cocaine every 2 year habit, you would be doing better, I'm sure. Exposing the CIA's secret effort to seize control of social media. While the CIA is strictly prohibited from spying against American citizens on U.S. soil, a bombshell new Twitter files report reveals that a member of the board of trustees of Inktel, the CIA's mission-driving venture capital firm, along with former intelligence community and CIA analyst, were involved in a massive effort in 2021-2022 to take over Twitter's content management system. Not surprising, but yes, it's extremely dirty what's been happening in the era of censorship on the internet. And they tried making it so that the First Amendment was detoured. They had these ex-government employees work at firms. These firms weren't officially CIA, but they were all coming from it. In the end, they built a whole censorship and surveillance network for terrorists and for the whole world. And then eventually they found a subtle way to relabel things so that they could apply it onto Americans. Ukraine enforces desperate conscription laws as Russian troops close in on Kharkiv. Ukraine is now enforcing a new mobilization law, which is being called divisive. The law requires men ages 18 to 60 to carry their military paperwork at all times, to be presented to authorities on demand. Basically, Ukraine, we're reaching the bottom of Ukraine. It's as many people as they could send to the front line. They've sent their handicapped people. They've sent women. They, of course, at the beginning, they sent their men of reproductive age. And at this point, they are really scratching the bottom of the drawer. Absolute desperation, and there's no chance in hell that if the first wave you sent all got killed, that now the replacement that you're picking up at the bottom of your society, the least motivated people of your society, it's not gonna work. If you had the chance to win this war, it was with your first and second wave. Now the fifth and sixth wave, they're sure headed toward death, and they're not even going to fight. They're going to be like, shoot me. Shoot me, I'm done. U.S. service member critically injured in Gaza pier up to bypass Israeli blockade. Isn't it fascinating? The U.S. is operating this port in Gaza. So they've extended kind of on the side of the beach. They kind of put a temporary installation. It's like literally a port. Apparently, it costs hundreds of millions to deploy this and surveil it. We're doing this to go around the Israeli blockade. But wait a minute, wasn't the Israeli side, our side, weren't they the best allies of the U.S.? Weren't they our friends? If they are our friends, why do we have to put up hundreds of millions of dollars installation to pass a detour around them? It's because even the stuff that comes from the U.S. would be subject to interference by the Israeli army, blockade, and private citizens of Israel, making sure that even when it passes, it doesn't really pass, making sure to sabotage the trucks that are headed there. So there's just no way to deliver aid to the Palestinians other than through this temporary port. But the most seriously injured service member was working on the offshore platform that trucks use to travel between aid-laden ships and the Gaza beach. And something happened. The critically injured American was airlifted to an Israeli hospital. These are the first U.S. casualties of any degree in the pier operation so far. So what happened here? Did he receive an Israeli bombardment that somehow accidentally went toward this port? Was it an Israeli strike? Was it friendly fire on the U.S. side? Anyways, a first U.S. casualty, basically, in the Hamas-Israel war due to delivery of humanitarian aid. UCLA Med School prioritized racial diversity, leading to shocking decline in medical knowledge. The University of California, Los Angeles Medical School is admitting underqualified racial minorities in the interest of diversity, according to a report in the Washington Free Beacon. No surprise. I mean, yeah. Doctors have always been highly selected for capacity for grades at school. It has always led to highly compliant, highly rule-following people, which is kind of good to have as a doctor. You don't want an artist doctor who's like, let me fix this guy like an artist. You want him to go by the standards, by the book. But now we're not selecting on this. Now we're selecting if you can be black and write Black Lives Matter on your application. That gives you extra points. As a last news item, the feds secretly knew for years that Joe Biden met with Hunter's Chinese partners on official trip. We have now discussions that were released. Federal agents were observing and they knew, hey, here's Hunter Biden selling American influence to the Chinese. And still, as of today, there's never been prosecution for any of this. There's never been prosecution for the money to the big guy. But of course, the big guy is the president of the U.S. Much love, everyone. Don't take drugs. Don't go to gay karaoke bars. And don't be on ecstasy and beer and vodka. Bye-bye. Oh, wait. This is breaking news like minutes ago. The woman that was crying for being a single mom, her ex just published a video. I wanna see it with you guys. So, because I was wondering, you know, this girl, being a single mom is making your own birthday cake on your birthday so that your babies can feel happy. They are singing to you. And there's always been a mystery with this girl who's crying and trying to attract sympathy. There's always been a mystery to me, which is I've looked into her whole history of her whole YouTube shorts and whatever TikTok. She never says, did she leave her husband? What happened with her husband? Let's see. The husband has been releasing a video.
So I've been sent this video a lot over the last few days. People asking my thoughts and my comments on it. And before anyone says, oh, you don't know her situation, or, you know, you don't know what she's going through, well, I do, because I lived it. I'm her ex-husband, and right now I have full custody of our kids.
Ouch. He has full custody. The father shall have all weekday and weekend custody of the children.
Ouch. This is our parent agreement.
By the way, you can be, if you're a woman, you can be literally on cocaine the day of your hearing. You're gonna keep custody of the children. What the fuck has she done for him to have custody?
As you can see, I have all weekdays and weekends, time sharing with the kids, all at holiday academic breaks. And for her to get any rights back to the kids, these are the things that she needs to do. And yes, child support.
The mother's completion of, at her sole expense, a psychiatric examination together with substantial participation in, at her sole expense, any psychiatric, psychological, and or mental health treatment program. The mother must be gainful employed. The mother has maintained permanent, blah, blah, blah.
And for her to get any rights back to the kids, these are the things that she needs to do. And yes, child support, she owes that. It's up to...
And she owes $21,000 in child support.
To over $21,000. So she's a mother and doesn't pay child support.
She's been arrested for not paying child support. So... Wait a minute. On her TikTok, she was crying for how hard it is to be a single mom. So she's a single mom, but her children are not there. She's an imaginary single mom.
She was then arrested for check fraud, and during that hearing, it turned out that it was found that she stole almost $1 million from another guy.
She stole $1 million from a guy, check fraud.
And also she faked cancer in the past. These are
faked cancers with MRI scans.
Scans that she would send and post on her page before. So, you know, to sum it up, you know, this person, for people that follow her or giving her praise and showing, telling her how strong and how, you know, amazing she's doing, well, she's really not a full-time mom. She barely has her kids. She goes out all the time, and she doesn't even have a job even. So she just really not someone that other single moms should really be looking towards as for inspiration or anything like that.
Man, her whole, I saw her whole TikTok because I was investigating, and her whole TikTok is counseling other women how to be better when they're a single mom or when things go bad in their life. And it's like, think positive. She was giving those counsels while not even having the life that she claimed.
There are a lot of, you know, hardworking single moms out there, and a lot of respect to them. All I just want to say is she just isn't one of them. So hopefully everyone.
Oof, the absolute call out of bullshit TikTokers here. This woman just got exposed. Now, I'm not for a denial of rights of women, and I don't think you should have a job to or a psychiatric evaluation to see your kids. That is unfair to me. Still, she is a liar. She is at the very least a liar and potentially a fraudulent criminal. that is something important to know next time you look for our advice on TikTok. I totally got fooled. Her tears have convinced me. I was sure she was rushing as a single mom, making mashed potatoes all day for kids. I fell for it once again. Woman tears. Thank you.